pursue after Christ, to follow after Christ, right? And last week what we covered was in verse 13. Right? How do we go forward in the pursuit of Christ, right? We have to forget the things that are behind, leave all those things behind, and then keep reaching forward, right? And now today in verse 14, where the Apostle Paul finally reveals to us, what are we reaching forward to? Right, and it's the high point of this passage, and today we are talking about the pursuer's prize. Right, and this verse is a verse that is extremely familiar to all of us. Alright, we quote it very, very often. It says here, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Right, and the idea here is very simple, that you press forward, you press toward the mark, but you keep going ahead. Right, and in your notes, the very first point that we are looking at today is the finish line. Right, so the word press down here is exactly the same word for follow after in verse 12. And if you remember, this word talks about a hunter, right, who has a target in his sight. So he will pursue after this target, he will go after it relentlessly until he gets a target. Right, so it's this idea of striving forward for one single goal with the utmost maximum amount of effort available. Right, and he uses the same word down here, but this time he adds in this phrase, I press toward the mark. Right, and the word mark down here is where we have our word for scope. Right, and this word mark is not just staring, it's not just fixing your eyes on something. Right, that's the idea of it down here. It can be used to describe a watchman. But rather down here in this verse, the idea of a scope is actually a finishing line. Right, and down here in this verse, we have the image of a runner again. Right, and now the runner, when he starts the race, he must know where the finish line is, and that's his objective. Right, I mean, to complete a race, what must you do? You have to run, you have to finish, you have to cross the finishing line, right? If you don't cross the finish line, it's not considered finished. Right? And that's your objective, that's where you head towards, that's where you run towards. Can't deviate from it. Right? And so that's the idea of the word, the mark down here, the finishing line. Right? And one first point to raise about this is that in every Christian race, there must be this objectivity. Right? And why Paul raises up about the mark is that we have to understand and know that there is a finishing line for us to move towards as Christians. There is an objective for us to strive forward as Christians. Right? And one thing to do is that when we talk about this mark, this finishing line, it's our object of focus. Right? When we focus upon what we are going after, right, it's when we will not deviate from the path. Right? And if you think about it, right, our aim is very crucial in the Christian race. Right? And if you think of this runner, right, for this moment when he runs his race, he deviates his eyes from it. You know, he turns around and looks at the spectators, try to find his friends. Right? I mean, you just try walking. And when you walk, you turn your head to the right. And then you just keep walking. And if you think you can drive, I mean, if you think you can walk in a straight line, I don't think you'll be able to. And we know, right, if you drive and you keep looking in one direction on the left, you are not going to end up in a very good place, right? Because you will naturally deviate towards where you're looking at. I mean, it's just human physics and mechanics. We know this, but when we talk about the Christian race, right, it's a far deeper thing than just mechanics or what is in the physical world. Because we're talking about the objective of our lives. Right, keeping our eyes, keeping our entire life focused upon this mark. Right, and in the Christian race, we cannot lose objectivity in it. Right, and one thing about this is that when we realize what we're heading towards, how precious and how wonderful a thing it is that we are running for. Right, how glorious a race that we are in. It's something that will drive us, that will be able to motivate us, right? And this entire illustration of a runner is not just found in this passage, right? You can turn to 1 Corinthians 9:24. Right? We'll turn back to this passage again because it's one of the passages that we will need, right, to interpret this verse also. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Right, let's read this verse together. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Reading, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Right, and we find that not just here, but in Hebrews 12 also. Right, the Apostle Paul and some commentators would say that if he was here today, he would be sort of like a sports fan, someone who is very fanatical about athletics, because very often in his writings, he uses illustration of a runner to illustrate how we as Christians, we pursue after Christ, we pursue after righteousness, how we keep going on, striving forward, right, in this Christian walk, or in this Christian race, in this life. Right, and down here in 1 Corinthians 9:24, right, he uses the same imagery, and it's clearer down here. Right? Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. And what Paul is talking about down here in this verse is that he's not sparking a competition. Right? He's not saying, okay, you Christians in the church, right? There's so many of you, but only one man can receive a prize. So therefore, you all must compete. Right? That's not the idea of the verse. But in this verse in 1 Corinthians 9:24, right, he focuses on just this person, the one who wins the race. And who wins the race? If you go to any athletic competition, you will find the champions. If you talk to them, interview them, you will realize that they are the people who perhaps are the most determined on the field out in that day. Right? Perhaps it may be rainy, perhaps the conditions are difficult, but he will be the man who will be the most determined to win the race. He will be the one who has trained the most. He will be the most focused person there, not distracted by anything, not distracted by the environment, by the weather conditions. He will not be pressured by anything. Right? But this one man, he will have strived forward with the maximum amount of effort, much more than the rest, and therefore he wins the race. Right? And so when Paul focuses on this verse, right, so run that ye may obtain, he's not saying compete, but rather run as if you were the best man in the race, who will give his all and leave nothing behind. Right? So that's the idea of 1 Corinthians 9:24. And very much the same down here, right, in Philippians 3:14. Right, you can keep your finger at 1 Corinthians 9. We'll turn back to it quite shortly as we talk about the prize later on. Right, so this is the Christian's objectivity, right, focusing our eyes upon the mark, pressing towards the mark. Right, the race must have a direction. We have to be moving towards the mark and not anywhere else. Right, that's something that we have to take note about it. And one thing about this is that if we are objective as Christians, if we know what we are heading towards, that is when, right, it will be reflected in our attitudes. I mean, you look at a runner when he's preparing for a race. I mean, you have done it if you have ever run a race before in sports day or something. But you realize that in a stadium, there's a whole lot of people out there who are cheering. There's a lot of distractions. People walking about, announcers will be announcing things, and there's all sorts of things going around. Right? And then you are down there at the starting blocks, you're pretty much alone, and you have to think, what am I going to do? How many steps do I need to take from this point to that point? Right? And you can't worry about your competitors, you can't, you know, you have to put all these things aside. And then you have to make sure that you are just focused. One thing to do, I have to get it done well. Right? And that determines your attitude and how determined are you. You can't go there with a mixed attitude. Ah, never mind. I'm just here to race for fun. No, it doesn't matter whether I win or lose. Right? Then when you start the race, you're going to go into it half-hearted. Right? Ah, never mind. Don't win anything, it's okay. So you just run and, you know, take your time and have fun and that's it. Is that how we describe our Christian race? Is it like that? You know, I am going to reach heaven anyway, right? Right? Our salvation is secure. I'm not going to lose it, so I would definitely complete the race. But, you know, it's okay. I'll just take my time. You know, and that's when our attitude goes out of focus. Right? That's when we lose all objectivity of why we're running the race. Why is it so necessary for us to focus within the race? Right? And so that's a point to take note about us. When we say that we are pressing towards the mark, right, it ought to determine our attitudes also. Our objectivity, right, would direct our attitudes and how we live as Christians. Right, it determines our hearts. How determined are we to follow Christ? How willing are we to overcome sin and temptation in our lives? How hard will we strive to glorify God in all things that we do? Right, all these things will come. That's where all the applications will come in. And sometimes why, perhaps, we don't apply Scripture so well into our lives. Sometimes why, perhaps, we don't feel so motivated. Sometimes why we give up so easily as Christians is because we have become very slack in the race. Right? We know we're just going to finish this life anyway, right? We're going to die, be resurrected, be found together with God. So why bother running so hard? Is that our attitude sometimes in the Christian race? Right? And we know this Christian race, I mean, God willing, is going to be a long one. Right? It's not a sprint, a marathon, as sometimes we'll say. Many years of our life involved, and sometimes you think, so far away. The finish line is so far, far, far away. Right? If you ever ran a marathon before, you know, it's a good, if you're fast, 4+ hours, 5 hours, 6 hours away. And it's so far. Right? And sometimes is that how we see the Christian race? You know, perhaps you might think, I'm still young, or if you're not so young, you might think, there's still 10, 20, 30, 40 years left in my life. You know, I can take my time, slowly learn God's word. I can still serve Him next time. You know, it's okay. I don't have to deal with this sin right now in my life, these temptations that I have. You know, I have so much time to deal with it. And so therefore, we become very slack in our attitudes in the Christian race. We think, I have time to perhaps pursue all these other secondary objectives. Why not get my career right first, right? There's only this time frame where I can settle my career, you know, before I start turning old or something like that. Or there's only this time frame where I can settle this thing in my life, so I'll just focus all my efforts on it. You know, and then when we do so, we turn our eyes away from the finishing line. We forget why we are pursuing after Christ. Our objectivity goes over the place, and our life is pretty much in a mess, right? And soon, perhaps being a Christian, living as a Christian, is just, you know, one of the side things that we do in life. That's not really running the race, isn't it? That's not the idea of a runner, focused, determined, wanting to finish, right, and do his utmost. That's the idea that Paul is writing about down here, pressing towards the mark, the finishing line, that just one thing that he focuses upon. Alright, so that's one more thing to note, and under complacency, I've written about some things that we have just talked about. Alright, and it's just a warning for all of us also, in this Christian race, we can't be complacent in the way that we run. We cannot think that perhaps I've just run so far. Right now, perhaps I'm getting a bit older. I can take a bit of a slack, slow down in my life, and, you know, perhaps things will get easier as I run the Christian race. Perhaps with the years of experience, perhaps with the years of Bible knowledge that I have, it will get easier. That's complacency. Right? Every step of the way in a race, the runner needs to keep his determination going. He can't say that, oh, I just chong ahead, you know, for the first 100 meters. Right? The next 200 meters, not so bad. I'll take it easy. Then the last 100 meters, I'll just sprint again. You know, try to end well. That's not how the race is run. Right? All great runners and everything, you see, right, that they train, they realize that every curve in a track, every single step they take is essential. And the moment they stumble a little bit, they take one misstep, they know, right, their whole running rhythm is out, everything is gone. Right? And you know, last time we trained in track and field, that's how they taught us. You have to count the number of steps you need to do. You know, your striding must be that uniform distance. One moment your stride is too short, too long or something, you overstretch yourself, that's it, your rhythm is gone. Right? And then you find it, true enough, your timing goes off. Right? It's a crazy amount of focus. It's not go there, then, just chong as hard as I can, then, that's it. That's not the idea down there. There's this idea of consistency also. Keeping focus at every step. Running, 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 running. Having objective in sight. Where every single step is precious in this race. Where we know the slightest stumble can cost us the entire race, to put it that way. Not saying that you lose your salvation, but we know sometimes, right, you indulge in one sin. The slightest misstep, when we fall into that one temptation, it can destroy and wreck our entire testimonies. That's how frightening it is. So therefore, in this Christian race, when we say that we're pursuing after Christ, right, let us not be complacent in such a way. Let us keep ourselves focused as we follow after Christ. Right, and let us have this very right objectivity. Right now, as we look at the second portion of this verse, right, now we talk about the prize, right, the high point of it all. What are we running after? We have talked so much about pursuing, right? How to pursue it, how it's so necessary, how we must be determined, focused, fixed on this thing. But what are we pursuing after? Right, so Paul down here, he describes it as this: I press toward the mark for the prize. Right, and this phrase is attached to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Right, the word prize down here is used only in two places. It's only used here, and also in 1 Corinthians 9:24. Right, let's come back to 1 Corinthians 9:24. Right, you will realize that in this passage, if you look after Philippians 3:14, right, he doesn't dwell so much as of what the prize is. He doesn't go into a lengthy explanation. Right, the focus, I believe, in this passage in Philippians is more on how to run the Christian race. Right? But in 1 Corinthians 9, right, Apostle Paul, he reveals to us what this prize is, right, and he explains a little bit further. So let's look at it. So after verse 24, in verse 25, he says here, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Now, notice this. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we, an incorruptible." We are supposed to obtain this crown that is incorruptible. And if you look at this word incorruptible, right, it will be found over in quite a number of scripture passages, right, that Paul quotes from also. Right? For example, this is in 1 Peter 1:3-5, talks about this inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. Right, I've quoted it there in the second last paragraph. And that is actually what we are pursuing after. Right? Previously, we know, Paul has mentioned that he has not attained this thing that is perfect. Right? He knows that right now, he is not in a glorified body, he struggles with sin, struggles with the flesh, and he continues to pursue. But the end point of the race is that it's not just a finishing line. What lies beyond the finishing line? At the end of the race, it's not just about crossing the line and then that's it. Once you have won, there is a prize to it. Right? There is a great reward at the end of it. And this reward, as described in 1 Corinthians 9, right, is this incorruptible crown. Right? I believe this refers to the great prize that we receive at the end of our lives, the glorified body. Right? That when we are together with Christ, right, we will be in this glorified and perfect body, no longer wrecked and plagued by sin, no longer having to struggle with sin anymore, but rather where our lives are truly, truly complete in such a way, where we are truly perfect and complete in Christ. Right, that's what I believe it refers to. And if you look back at Philippians 3:14, he says here, it's the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And high calling down here, right, it refers to something that can that is above. It's a calling that is higher, far above anything that is earthly. It is something that comes from heaven itself. That's what he says. The price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is something that comes from God Himself. It is something given by Christ Jesus. And we know, when we say that Christ Jesus is the first fruits, right, of all of us. And in that sense, where when Christ rose from the dead, when He was resurrected, right, that is the example for us. There's a promise for us to know that one fine day, when we die, when we finish our Christian race on this earth, we will likewise receive of this wonderful resurrection that Paul has talked about, right, where we receive of our glorified bodies. And that's our prize at the end of this race, where we move to this far higher calling than what we have right now. You know, on this earth as we serve the Lord, our lives here, we know it's temporal. Our calling here is temporal. Yes, we are Christians. While we serve the Lord here in various aspects, in various forms, and all that, we have different callings in such a way. Right? But do we realize that our calling here on earth is very much temporal? It will only last as long as we are alive down here. But once we are dead and gone, we move to a far higher calling. We move to a far different place. We are found in a different body. And that's our great prize at the end of it. So when we think about this higher pursuit and this incorruptible crown that we have been given and this wonderful promise, is it not a great hope to all of us? Is it not a great prize for all of us to obtain? You know, one thing about races is that when you go for a race, for example, when you run in it, what do you hope to achieve out of a race? I mean, sometimes you look at, you know, for an illustration, if you look at races in Singapore, right? You know, nowadays they have runs for everything. Right, in the past, perhaps you just have one or two marathons a year and a half marathon. Now you have run for cancer, run for this, run for that, and you even have the Hello Kitty run. Right? And you know, when you look at people, when they go for a race, what do they want out of a race? If you think about it. I mean, running is running, right? I mean, you run a marathon, fine. But you can run 42 kilometers outside on yourself too. It's just running, isn't it? More or less, when you enter a race, you kind of want a prize. Right? People have objectives when they enter the race. They want something out of it. They want a medal if they're competing. If not, at the very least, perhaps, you know, in our case, we have souvenirs and finishers' keys and all that kind of stuff. Right? That's why people complain so much after the Hello Kitty thing when they don't get their things. Right? But besides that, when we realize that we ourselves as Christians, right, what do we hope to achieve in this Christian race when we run? Are we very short-sighted thinking that, you know, we just run this race and then get it over and done with, and, yeah, you know, good, I receive a glorified body, I'm with Christ, that's all good. Is it just a statement of fact again that that's what we receive and then that's it? Or does it actually affect our lives right now when we think about why we're running this race and what we have at the end of it? Right? When you're running in a race, you know you're suffering down there. You're sweating all the way, you're short of breath, you know, every muscle in your body hurts, you want to give up, right? You just want to stop. And you know, but what keeps you going in a race? And if you think about it, when we as Christians, isn't it kind of the same down here when you have the illustration of a runner? Right down here, we are hurting in different ways. We are struggling with this body that keeps aging, more health problems come. When we serve sometimes it's difficult. Right? We try to do a lot of things, but we find so much struggle here on this earth. Struggle with sin, struggle with temptation, many struggles that we face. But when we look at verses like this, why is it so wonderful to us? Why is it so glorious when we think about such a thing, when we think about our far future ahead? Is it not because it grants to us this wonderful promise of hope that when we know there's this great prize waiting for all of us, that will help us to run this race well. When we think about this prize, it doesn't make us complacent in our running in this race. It doesn't make us think that, you know, since we're going to get it, we can do it any way that we want. That's not how it works. But when we think about this grand promise that God has laid in store for us, where all our treasures are laid up for us, where our heart is supposed to be at, when we think about all these things placed together, does it not help us to get through our lives day by day? When you wake up, it's going to be tough, right? You have to go to the office, you have to handle all the different things that you have to handle. What gets you through today? What gets you through the weeks, the months, the years of our lives? Are we just, you know, going through the motions as a Christian with no objective? Or do we realize that we're all part of this great Christian race that we've been placed in? We are heading towards a grand and glorious goal at the end of it. And in this earth, while we can struggle in this body, will we not struggle and run the race well? With the right focus and the right determination. Where we want to truly enjoy the fruits of our labor, let it be at the end of our lives. And while we're on this earth, you know, we are wounded and weary at times, yes. But let us keep going ahead. Because we have this great, grand, glorious hope. That's why Paul can say, I press towards the mark, I pursue it. Whether he is jailed, whether he is beaten or stoned, all these things he can lay aside and keep striving forward. Is that how we see our lives? Running the race, putting all these things aside, keeping our objectives right, not being complacent. I'm not saying you can't enjoy life here, not saying that life is all just about, you know, press towards and suffering, grief and all that. It's not just about that. But sometimes we become complacent. We enjoy so much of our blessings. We enjoy our health. We enjoy the prosperity that God has given to us to a point where we forget what we truly are living for. That is when it becomes dangerous. Is that not a setting up of idols in our hearts? Is that not when we create different objectives and we run astray? Let it not be so. But when we think of this verse, let it be a verse of focus for all of us. Let it be a verse of hope to all of us as we run in this Christian race. All right, let us pray. Our Father,